Welcome back to the Lifehouse International podcast for our Sunday morning service. Today, we are going to be hearing from Montana and Anna, who are two of our amazing youth leaders, as they share a combined message about how God calls us to be changed from the inside out.
Wonderful. Awesome. Good morning, church. Hello. How are we? Wonderful. I am so excited to be sharing today. I'm a little bit nervous. And you know what? It's okay if I mess up. You guys are the church, so you have to forgive me. So I'm covered. But no, I do love our church. And we heard from the amazing guest speaker, Will Hall, last week. That was incredible what he shared. And even before that, we had the three incredible Easter services that we had as well. And I just loved, I don't know if some of you guys were here for it, but like the chocolate with the invitations. Whoever thought of that was genius. However, I kind of struggled to sort of give it instead of just eating it for myself. But yes, do people still manage to like not eat all your Easter chocolate all at once? Because for me, this is my first year. This is quite shameful. This is the first year I haven't managed to eat all of my Easter chocolate all in one day. So yes, thank you. I'm very proud of myself. And my parents know what story I'm about to share next. Yes, so basically, I remember as a kid, my dad and I went up to our family farm up in Peak, up in the Mallee. And for Easter, my dad got up early one Sunday and hid a whole bunch of Easter egg chocolates for me and my cousins to go and find when they came to the farm. Now, these Easter eggs, they weren't the small, tiny Cadbury Easter eggs. They were the 50 big Easter eggs. They were good. They were good. But what actually ended up happening was my cousins didn't end up coming to the farm. And my dad got busy on the tractor. And so he went off doing farm work. And lo and behold, left little Montana by herself to wake up to all 50 giant Easter eggs. And let's just say that my body reaped destruction that night. I was vomiting everywhere. And my dad was panicking because he was just like, what's the matter with Montana? I don't know what's happening. I don't know what she ate that made her sick. And so he rings Mum and is just like, Adi, Montana's throwing up everywhere. I don't know what she's eaten. I don't know. To my mum's response was, what happened to all the Easter eggs? My mum wasn't there, but she knew. She knew. To then, in the morning, my dad finds all 50 of the giant Easter egg wrappers in my not-so-secret hiding spot underneath one of the peppercorn trees. Now, you would think after 10 chocolates, I would have stopped. 20, 30 chocolates. At that point, I was full. But I kept going till I ate all 50 chocolates. And since that Easter, I don't think I was allowed to do any Easter egg hunts in our family. But it didn't stop me from eating more chocolate the next Easter. And this is a story that has been repetitive in my life. I'm not proud of it. But it's interesting how when we give into our internal temptation, it always leaves us wanting more, whether that be more money, more comfortability, more power, or in my case, more chocolate. Even if it makes us feel sick giving into our temptations, it always leaves us wanting more. And so the main verse I'm going to be sharing with you guys today, church, is from Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 25. And it says this: the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I just love this piece of scripture where we are shown these two comparisons of the flesh versus the Spirit, what is not of God versus what is God. Now we read this piece of scripture and say, yeah, the acts of flesh, these things are not of God. They're pretty bad. For example, witchcraft, idolatry, sexual immorality, hatred, selfishness. Those are some pretty big bad signs. But my question is, what actually leads us to doing these things? It's this internal desire. This internal desire isn't new to us as humans. This has been a struggle for mankind since the beginning. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they saw that the fruit was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. And I remember that verse as a kid and being so mad at Adam and Eve. Like, I remember thinking as a kid, like, if I was in the Garden of Eden, I would have never eaten from that forbidden fruit. I would never have eaten from that forbidden fruit. Like, come on, you were given one simple rule to follow and you just couldn't do it. This is coming from the kid that ate 50 giant chocolates. But I was like, come on, just follow God. But it wasn't so much the contents of eating the fruit that was the sin. It was the internal intention behind why they ate of the fruit. Them eating from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil was not only disobeying God, but thinking, not your will, God, but my will. It was pride that became humanity's biggest downfall, that they thought that they knew what was better than God, that what they thought was good and pleasing to the eye and could give them wisdom, but only brought disorder, destruction, and death. And it's so easy for us to think that we don't do this. But to be honest, we do. It's funny, we might even say to ourselves, pride isn't actually something that I really struggle with, because that in itself is prideful. We all are ones to be prideful. And I remember starting Bible college last year, and I finished it last year, and I was walking into like the first session, the first tutorial, all this sort of stuff, and I was walking in and I was like, yes, I know, I've grown up as a Christian. I come from a Baptist background. We did Bible studies. We love the Word of God. Amen. I already know all the answers. And I walked in and I left, and I left so humbled. I left college with more questions than answers, to be honest. I was like, whoa, my mind is blown. And it was because I had this pride telling me that I knew what was right and wrong, and that I knew what was good and evil. And when we eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, it leaves us feeling unsatisfied, that there's this hole inside of us that we're always trying to fill with our fleshly desires, yet it always leaves us wanting more. But church, we are given some good news. From Galatians, again, back to the verse I said before, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Notice that it says the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. When we are filled with the Spirit, we outwardly show the fruit of the Spirit as a whole. Not just pieces of the fruit, but as a whole. You can't just pick love without having joy, peace, kindness, and so on and so forth. When possessing the fruit of the Spirit, it's so easy to assume that having the fruit of the Spirit is only for our benefit. But in reality, It isn't. Yes, we can gain so much by having the fruit of the Spirit for ourselves, but it's much more than that. The fruit of the Spirit isn't just what we consume for our own desires, but instead it is what we produce to be able to give to others. We are changed from the inside out. It's not meant to be used. It's not meant to be used like having all your eggs in one basket. It's meant to be shared. Going back to my story before, the whole point of the Easter egg hunt was not just for me, but for my cousins. And I'm thankful that in any circumstance where I am tempted to choose the flesh, that there is an opportunity that God gives us to use the Spirit instead. I could lie, or I could tell the truth. I could take revenge, or I can bring kindness and forgive. I could have a fit of anger, or I can choose peace. I can have fear, or I can be faithful. I can be selfish, or I can have self-control. We are changed from the inside out, from constantly needing to receive to now being able to freely give. Let us not choose to live in step with the flesh, but instead let us be in step with the Spirit. Let us not choose to live in step with the flesh, but instead, just as Jesus crucified himself, let us crucify our flesh so that we can be in step of the Spirit. Let us, church, choose life, not death. When we are filled with the Spirit, this constant need for more, this constant need to be filled is taken away, and we are left with this fulfillment of eternity by the love of Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam, so in Christ all will be made alive." In this scripture, Paul has given us this beautiful parallel between Adam and Jesus. And we see this parallel all throughout scripture. From in the beginning, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, it was them saying to God, "Not your will, God, but my will." And then we see in the New Testament, when Jesus is in a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, we see him praying to God before he is crucified, praying, "God, not my will, but your will, God." It was our hands that first took from the tree, and it was Jesus' hands that were nailed to that cursed tree. Just like it was my hand that took for the 49th Easter egg, or the time it was your hand that took revenge, or it was the time that we took for our own selfishness, it was our hands that took from the tree, and it was Jesus' hands that were nailed to that tree. In Genesis 2:17, when God says, "But you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die." God didn't intend for us to eat of the forbidden fruit. He didn't intend for us to experience death. Us eating the forbidden fruit put to death our spirit, and in doing so, separated ourselves from God. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that eternity is planted on every person's heart. We were created to be with God. We were never meant to be separated from him. In 1 Peter 3:18, "For indeed Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unjust and unrighteousness, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." The last thing Jesus said when he was on that cross was, "It is finished." Jesus fulfilled the law so that out of it, we too can be fulfilled. Jesus, having been put to death in the flesh, has now made us alive in the Spirit. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and in doing so, he paved the path for us to now be with God for eternity, just as it was meant to be from the very beginning. In a minute, we'll have the amazing Anna coming up and sharing, but before she does, I just want to pray. So, church, if you can join me. Dear God, Lord, we just thank you so much. Lord, we just pray that as a church we can bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and reflect the character, God, of Jesus, Father. Instead of choosing anger, God, Lord, let us choose joy. Instead of choosing lies, God, Lord, let us choose truth. God, I just pray that you can help us instead of giving into our fleshly desires, instead of giving into that temptation, God. Lord, that you can help us to live according to the Spirit. God, Lord, that you will help us keep in step with the Spirit. Lord, that we are so grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus. God, Lord, that it was his hands that were nailed to that tree, even though we were meant to be on that tree. That it was us that first took from that tree. But God, you sent your son to die on that tree for us. And for that, we have been given this gift of eternal life. And we are so, so grateful, Father. So, Lord, I just pray that as we go out into our week, God, Lord, that we can have this transformation in our sides, God, Lord, that we have been transformated from the inside out, God, Lord, that our actions are no longer from wanting to keep receiving, God, but we are to be freely giving to others, God, Lord, that we will be your church, Lord, that we will be your people to spread the gospel, God, for people to encounter us so that they can then encounter you. Father, Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, church.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Montana. Can we give Montana another round of applause? That was amazing. That was so great to hear about the fruits of the Spirit and how it's not actually just for us, but it's for us, everyone around us. But this morning I wanted to share about what God has called us to do beyond our personal faith, actually from what's happening on the inside to actually come out. So I wanted to start by reading from Ephesians 6 from verse 10. And it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." And if we then jump to verse 17, it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And today I wanted to focus on that last bit, which was the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But before we jump into that, I wanted to share a quick story with you guys. I have a bit of a survey for you guys, and it's about dreaming. So who here never dreams? Like, you never dream, you just go to sleep and then you wake up. Anyone? Oh, we have a few. Jacob Dawson. Oh, Reuben. Well, that, for you two, just Jacob and Reuben, that is sad to me. Like, you just sleep, wake up. But who here, who sometimes dreams? Like, you occasionally dream, not every night, but... most of us? Okay, yeah. Who here dreams every single night, no matter what? Like, you experience another world. That's me. Every night. And you kind of like, every morning I wake up, I feel like I'm in a different body. Like, I really go full deep dreams every single night. And I wanted to share one of my dreams I actually had with you. This was about a month ago now. My dreams, they're kind of realistic. So, like, if I've hung out with you before, not to scare you, but you've most definitely been in my dreams before, not in, like, a creepy way or anything. It's just, like, if I think about something, I most likely would dream about it. Like, this last week, someone had, like, a formal unity or something, and then I dreamt about my formal and, like, I didn't have my dress. Anyways, that's not what I'm sharing. But I wanted to tell you about a dream I had about a month ago, and I don't really remember where I was, but in my dream, I needed to go to the toilet. And, you know, as you go to the toilet, you release of your bodily fluids and stuff. And, like, I don't really remember where I was, but I needed to go. And in my dream, I walked to the toilet and I went to the toilet. to which then I woke up and I had wet the bed. And this was a month ago, can I just say? I am a 21-year-old and I wet the bed. And like, not just like a little bit either. Look, I fully wet the bed. I'm meaning sheets, gone. Mattress protector, gone. Pants, destroyed. So it's like 2 or 3 a.m. and I'm ripping off my sheets, so angry. I'm ripping off my mattress protector, changing my pants, putting on a new sheet. And like, who here actually enjoys putting on a fitted sheet? No one. It's like, I don't even like doing it during the daytime. I probably don't wash my sheets as much as I should. My mum's always telling me, have you washed your sheets? Have you washed your sheets? But oh, here I am, 2 a.m. It's actually so embarrassing. Changing a sheet, and I was so angry. I was like, not only was I angry, I was like, I am 21 years old, and I just wet the bed. Anyways, there was a few things I learned from this little experience. One, maybe drink a little less water, because I'm saying this thing was like a gallon. Like, this was like, I had fully, like, wet the bed. But yeah, sorry if this is too much information, but you know, Mark and Josh, they always like tell you like to like heal from different things that you should speak about it. So I thought, I'll speak about it. Today's the perfect opportunity. But yeah, I hope you guys are proud of me. But yeah, the second thing I learned from this is whatever has control over you will make the decisions for you. So in this instance, my dream had control over me, and it certainly did make the decisions for me. Can I just say, I did not choose to do that. That was not my desire, but I did it anyway. So whatever has control over you will make the decisions for you. So my question for you this morning is, what in your life has control over you? Maybe it's your friends. Maybe what your friends do is kind of what you do. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe you've got whatever your boss says, you will meet that standard no matter what. Or maybe it's the money that is driving you. Or maybe it's simply your personal desires and temptations that you give into them and they make the decisions for you. You see, the world is constantly offering different things to take away your focus from God and onto the things of the world. And during this week, Ruben and I were watching this movie called The Social Dilemma. And basically, what it's about is how the internet is programmed. If you're spending time away from your phone or away from social media, your phone is programmed to send you more notifications, more alerts, more things to pull you in. Like, it will basically bump them up so that you are drawn in and then hooked back onto your phone. And that is the same as how the enemy works. When you're spending more time away from the world and more time focused on God, he will send you more temptations, more offers that seem irresistible that you can't seem to say no. And you see, if the things of the world are the things that have control over us, then saying no is going to be near impossible. Even if we don't want to do it, it's going to be almost impossible to say no. However, there is good news, and that is the fact that God has given us a weapon, and that is the Word of God. So I wanted to share from verse 11 again, and it says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And in this armor of God, there's obviously multiple things. But the bit I'm focusing on is the sword, which is the Word of God. And God has equipped us with this word for this very day. So I wanted to also read from Josh had to teach me how to pronounce this word this week. Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 4, it says, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." God has given us a weapon, and it is the Word of God. It is free, it is accessible, but it's also powerful. It has power within it. But before we use this weapon, there are a few Bible myths that I want to debunk. And the first one is that the Bible is not relevant anymore. You know, some people say like it was written over 2,000 years ago, like the situation was different, they had different contexts, different people, different ways of living. But the truth is, in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You see, if the word of God is alive and if it is active, I'm pretty sure that means that it's relevant today. Yes, it might have been written all those years ago, but the word of God is alive. That means it is right now, in this very moment, it is speaking to us and it is active. It is constant. It is still carrying that same power it had all those years ago when these stories were written and told. So the second Bible myth I wanted to debunk was the Bible was written by man, by different men, so can we trust it? But you see, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, if you believe in God, you believe in the Bible. Because you can't just believe in God but say, "Oh, the Bible, I don't know, it's a bit old, you know. I still believe in God, though. I don't know about the Bible." But it says here, the Word was God. So if you want to believe in God, you need to not only just believe in the Bible, but live by the Word. These are God's words. And the third myth is the Bible has no power. You see, some people say, the Bible doesn't have power. It's just a book. And maybe the physical book itself doesn't have power. If you have an injury or something, I'm not just going to throw it at you and you're going to get healed. I'm not just going to slap it on this person, yep, healed. This person, their life's figured out. It might not work like that. Although there are stories about the physical Bible actually being used for those kind of miracles. But it's not about the book itself. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power." You see, they're not just a bunch of stories. The Word of God, there is power in it. And when we come and when we align ourselves with the Word of God, there is power. That God actually meets us in His Word and the Holy Spirit is then at work. But if we want to fully use God's Word as a weapon to meet Him in His Word, it's important we know the truth to this fourth myth that I will be sharing today, and that is that we can pick and choose what we follow in the Bible. So to explain this one, I thought I would paint a little picture. So as we know, the Word of God is referred to as a sword. So I've got a sword for you. Well, actually, Josh has a sword for you. But today I have a sword. So let's say this side of the room. You guys, you're actually attacking me. Bit rude of you. But this guy, don't worry, you guys over here, I'm protecting you guys with this sword. So I'm about to, take off the sheath. You don't know what a sheath is. It's this hard plastic cover bit. But Tam's in here. She's actually scared of sharp things. She doesn't like them. If she sees them, she freaks out. She'll run away. And I wouldn't want to offend Tamsin. Come on. So I'm going to keep the sheath on for now, if that's okay with you guys. But I'm still going to use it. I've still got a sword. But Abby here, she's anti-swords. She thinks they're all wrong, they kill people. And so if she's anti-sword and she's still young. I don't want to scare her away. So I might just hide the sword away, but I'm still going to use it. I'm just going to use it over here so you guys can't see it. And if you see, that doesn't make sense. If I want to use my sword, I can't just keep the sheath on and turn it away. And that is similar to the Word of God. Some people, they look and they say, "Oh, yes, I have a Bible, I follow my Bible," but one of my friends, they actually there's parts in it they don't really like. They said that bit kind of offends them. They said it's actually a bit judgmental and it's not really to this day. So you know what, I'm going to skip out on that part, especially when I'm with them. And if I read that verse, that it doesn't really go with my life routine. I'm comfortable with how I am. I don't need to change that. I still own a Bible though, so it's fine, right? God's still given it to me and I still bought a nice one from Koorong. It looks pretty good. But you see, everyone says, God will meet you where you're at. God will meet you where you're at. And this is 100% true. God will meet you where you are at. But it also says in that same verse we read before, "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction." So if we truly align ourselves with God and allow His Holy Spirit to speak to us, we will gain those deep convictions. And it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean we're not going to fall short. But it means the Word of God will continue to nudge you, and through that, God will meet you in His Word. The Holy Spirit works through you to protect you, to sustain you, and to fight the enemy schemes. So it's actually time that we take the sheath off. And I'm sorry, Tamsin, I know you're afraid of sharp things, but you know what? God has given me this sword, so I'm going to use it in its entirety. And I'm sorry, Abby, I know you're anti-swords, but I think one day if you will realize, if you actually opened up to it, I think you want the sword too, and that's what it really means. So it's actually time we use this sword. God has given you this sword. Why would we hide it away? Why would we use the cover on it? That's not going to do anything, frankly. That all it does is make it look pretty and makes me not cut myself. You can't just pick and choose. I can't just, you know what, today I'm just going to use the handle. Well, that's not going to do anything without the blade. That will, I don't know, maybe literally nothing. Or today I'm just going to use the blade. Okay, well then I'm going to cut my hand open if I don't use the handle. God has given us a weapon and we need to use it in its entirety. It's not to hide away. It's not to, you know, come over here. You know, I've got a sword. Yeah, it might be over here. No, God has said, step out in fullness to use this weapon. He has given it to you. So why wouldn't we use it? Might just put this down before I break my new laptop. The sword is your Bible, but not just your Bible, but God. The Word of God is God. This is a person. Will you let Him in today? It's time to actually let what's happening on the inside, our personal faith, to actually let that come out, to stand firm from the inside out. Will you let God transform you? And I know sometimes we feel like we need God to tell us directly. And like something I struggled with, I felt like I couldn't hear the verbal voice of God like other people did. But if you are feeling like that, if you feel like God isn't speaking to you, I'm going to say this, and that is to pick up your Bible. You don't need to hear a loud, booming voice telling you what to do. You don't need one of the pastors to come and prophesy over your exact situation. God has given us His Word. It is divine. He is already speaking to you. He wrote 66 books just to speak to you. So if you feel like you can't hear Him, open it up and He will meet you there. This isn't just words. This is a person. Like I said earlier in John 1:1, the Word was God. It is so much more than simply just reading a book. We are meeting Jesus. We will feel what He felt, and we will see what He saw. Jesus was human in the flesh. He had real tears, He bled real blood, and He felt real pain. So let's stop making excuses for not meeting Jesus in His Word today. It is so much more personal than that. And if we go back to the scripture in 1 Thessalonians in verse 6, it says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of your severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." So I wanted to read that last bit again. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You know, picking up your Bible can seem like a simple, easy concept. But I know for some of us, it's not always like that. But if you want God to meet you in His scripture, are you welcoming Him in the midst of your severe suffering? Will you allow Him to speak to you in some of the hardest moments? Because I personally know sometimes in those hardest moments, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that God's got a perfect plan when it feels anything but perfect. We don't want to hear that it's everything's going to be okay, because it doesn't feel like that. But going back to what I was saying earlier, what do you want to have control over your life? In these times of severe suffering, do you want the world, or do you want the Word of God to have control? Because like I said earlier in my dream, I didn't want to make the choice of wetting the bed. That wasn't my choice, but my dreams took control of me, so that's what happened. So what has control over you? What will make the choices for you? You know, it never says life as a Christian is going to be easy. Because, you know, the Bible, it will tell you to forgive. It says to turn the other cheek. It says to let things go that hurt you. And you see, the gospel is anything but a revenge plan. Jesus constantly got betrayed. People hurt him. They did things to him that he didn't deserve. But not once do I think it mentions where he's thinking of a plan to get revenge. Not once does it say that he kind of plotted secretly just so he could get back at them eventually. It's anything but that. But if you want the word of God to have control over your decisions, when life gets tough, you need to turn to the word of God, even, especially when you don't want to. And in a moment, we're going to be singing a song called King of Kings. And it has this one lyric that says, "This gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint." And we have spent too long putting things of the world above God, above his word. We have been trying to make the Bible kneel to us. We've been trying to twist its words. So, you know, like, it's different now. Actually, the way I live, it's not, I can't live like these guys. Like, I have a phone. Like, I have different things I have to live by. But it's actually time for us to come before God, for us to kneel before the word of God, to kneel before God. Because just like the song said, this gospel truth of old, no matter how old it is, it doesn't matter. It shall not kneel or it shall not faint. The thing is, God sent his own son for us. And with that, he sent his Holy Spirit. And God is saying to you, to me, take this, use this, study this, meet me here in the midst of your suffering. So my final question for you this morning, is are your feet planted on the world or on the word of God? You see, you can't have one foot on the word and one foot on the world. It just doesn't work like that. I'm sure a lot of us have tried that. It doesn't work. But what is going to have control over your life? What is going to make the decisions? Who are you going to give the power to? In both the good and the bad, where are your feet planted today? You see, Jesus bled for you and he bled for me. When he hung up on that cross, he felt your pain and he carried the weight of our sins. But yet, even though we didn't deserve it, he said we were worth it and he would do it again. And in this song, King of Kings, it says, praise the Father, praise the Holy Spirit, praise the Son. Or the other way around. That's okay. And it says 3 in 1. God knew that we couldn't do it alone. So he sent his Son in the flesh. He sent his Holy Spirit. He was there for guidance. So in a moment, we're going to worship. We're going to praise him. We're going to invite him back in. If we've been pushing me around, will you invite him back in today? Will you invite him into your life? So would you stand, church? So we are going to go into a time of worship. Will you meet him today? Will you invite him into your life? Will you meet him in his word? Will you declare that I'm not going to have my feet planted in the world anymore? I'm going to have it planted on the word of God. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening. If what Montana and Anna shared today spoke to you, we'd love to hear about it and connect with you. So head on over to our website at life.house and click on the My Response tab. Join us next time either in person or online for our Sunday morning service with Pastor Brock speaking. Be blessed!